Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers eliminated the Giants and the Diamondbacks from the National League West contention. They beat the Giants 6-3. Three big home runs, two from Max Muncy, one from Joey Gallo. We're going to talk about them and their approach to basically figuring out what's wrong with their swings and what the Dodgers are doing to help them with that. We're going to talk about the rude welcome the Dodgers gave to Harlan Garcia in his first appearance against them since the incident. We're going to talk about Justin Turner's hot streak, and we're going to talk about Craig Kimbrel letting it go. So, let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time with us, I am Jeff Snyder. That guy next to me is Vince Samperio. We are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box on the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And that's what we're going to do now. We've got a Dodger game to talk about. It was a fun game, a lot more fun, very similar to Monday night's game in that there were a crap load of home runs hit, but this time the Dodgers were on the positive side of the crap load. Whereas on Monday, they were on the negative side, and the end result was the Dodgers won the game and eliminated the Giants and also the Diamondbacks, who I guess that matters too, but eliminated the Giants from the National League West contention after the Giants knocked the Dodgers off their perch in the National League West last year. That will not happen again this year. Realistically, nobody's going to knock the Dodgers off their perch. Their magic number to eliminate the Padres, I think, is down to 7. But we know it won't be the Giants, and that's a good feeling, I think.
Yeah, it's always a good feeling to get the Giants, at least away from the division. Realistically, they're not going to make the playoffs either, which is always a welcome sign. And, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't matter too much, I guess, because they did end up beating them in the NLDS. But it just kind of makes you think about last year, and I think it makes it a little bit more frustrating, just like, okay, it was more of a fluke, rather than them being a legitimate contender that's building off something. It was just kind of everything went right for them type of year.
Yeah, fluke is absolutely the right word. And it was a one-year thing. And, you know, when the Giants hired Farhan Zaidi, you and I both said we weren't so sad to see Zaidi go as we were sad to see that the Giants were making smart moves in their front office. And I do think that they're going to be okay. I don't think they're as bad as they've been this year. I think they've had some bad luck with injuries and, you know, maybe a couple guys coming back to earth that they, you know, realistically, they probably should have cut ties with Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford after last year when they could have, but they, you know, kind of bought into the mystique of 2021, which is kind of what happened to them about a decade ago. You know, I think Brian Sabian kept his job a lot longer than he probably deserved to because the Giants won those 3 World Series in 5 years. And, you know, you got to be able to separate that stuff. And that's got to be one of the hardest parts of working in a front office. But, it's like I said, it's fun to beat the Giants, even when the Giants aren't good. And this one was a lot of fun. I guess let's talk about Harlan Garcia first, since we're on the topic of the Giants. You know, we're going to get to Max Muncy and Joey Gallo a little bit later. We're going to get to Craig Kimbrel a little bit later, Justin Turner. But Harlan Garcia hadn't pitched against the Dodgers since the incident when in San Francisco he struck out James Outman and then looked straight at Mookie Betts in the on-deck circle and mimicked the Dodgers Wolf of Wall Street celebration. For some reason, I don't know if he still had his feelings hurt from when Mookie had hit a 3-run homer off him a week or two before that. But whatever it was, he felt the need to call out Mookie there. He backtracked after the fact that he had a lot of respect for Mookie and didn't mean anything by it, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it was kind of fun that 5 of the 6 runs the Dodgers scored in this game came off of Garcia in the 1 2/3 innings that he pitched. You know, Max Muncy greeted him first battery face with a double, Justin Turner then walked, and then Joey Gallo hit a 3-run homer. And then in the next inning, Muncy hit a 2-run homer. And yeah, I don't have anything against Harlan Garcia. You know, I'll probably forget about this incident by next year, and I won't even, you know, he'll just be that guy who used to play for the Marlins and Harlan and Marlin rhyme. But right now it's kind of fun to see the Dodgers give him the rude welcome that he probably deserved.
Yeah. Fun to give it to him and fun to really not even acknowledge it. I mean, realistically they do that celebration every time. So like, you know, them doing it after a home run wasn't a knock on him, but there wasn't like, didn't seem like there was any extra thing, any, you know, extra feelings or anything harbored towards him. It was just kind of a normal night, similar to, and I can't remember his name, that's how irrelevant it was, to the guy with the D-backs and pumping his chest.
Yoan Lopez.
Yeah, and then Cody Bellinger doing it back to him. See, that one was a little bit more targeted. The Dodgers remembered that one. This one, I don't even, you know, I'm sure some of the Dodgers remembered, but realistically, probably not. They've moved on. They're working on eliminating the Giants from postseason, or not postseason, but from NLS contention, and worried about winning games, and that's what they do. But for it to be, you know, two lefties, also a good part. You know, like I said, we'll talk about Muncy and Gallo in a little bit. But for it to be Gallo, a guy who hasn't hit lefties well this year, but then he mentioned after he hasn't hit really anyone well this year. So for it to be him, and then Muncy, who now has 20 home runs in 68 career games against the Giants, it's just, you know, adds to it. And like I said, the fact that the Dodgers don't even put anything extra toward it just shows that, you know, they're above it.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that I've loved about this team this year. You know, every team has a different personality. And early on in this hot stretch for the Dodgers, you know, 2013, the first few years when they were winning the division, it was, you know, in 2013, they had the huge winning streak to go from last place to first place. There was Yasiel Puig. There was all of that. Later, they had the bubble machine. You know, they've had different things over the years. And I don't mean to say this year's team isn't having fun, because they're obviously having a lot of fun. For me, it's almost that they're having more fun with individual games and not so much worrying about like the bigger picture. You know, and Max Muncy, Kirsten Watson tried to get him a couple times to talk about the bigger picture. And a couple of reporters in the locker room too, asking Muncy about the bigger picture, you know, magic number 7 and, you know, playing the eliminating the Giants and all that. And Muncy's like, I don't care. We played a baseball game today and our goal is to win this baseball game. And they're having a ton of fun, but you can tell the fun is like focused on let's win today. And I do think that's a conscious thing that they've done. You know, Dave Roberts called them out in early June when they got swept by the Giants, and Roberts called them out publicly, which he hardly ever does. And he said, they need to do the little things to win a ball game today. And Andrew Friedman said, you know, Dave doesn't openly criticize like that. So when he does, I think it carries extra weight. And I, you know, I think it's hard to argue with the results since then. I do think this team really is taking it one game at a time. And that's why you're not going to see a big losing streak like they had in 2017 when they lost 16 out of 17 games after being the hottest team in baseball, because they're not caught up in being the best team in baseball. They're caught up in, hey, we got a bunch of good baseball players and there's a game on the schedule today. Let's go be good baseball players and win this game on the schedule today. And that for me as a fan is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. And as a fan, something we can all, you know, take from them, if you don't already do so, is to enjoy every day and enjoy every game and enjoy the regular season, because yeah, in a month it's going to be changed. You know, every game we're going to be living and dying on every pitch, but for now we're not necessarily living and dying on every pitch. We're just enjoying what's happening, going on. You know, you got all the guys, you can see it though. Like I said, it's a different type of fun, but you can see all the fun that they're still having. And now they got the DJ stuff after the games that they've had for a while. You know, we'll talk about Craig Kimbrough and his song change, and you know, that's a little bit of fun and something of a guy. Craig Kimbrough doesn't show too much personality, but, you know, maybe is trying to bring that into it as well. And you just see everyone shine. And you see Joey Gallo. He's already talked about it, about how the guys embraced him and bring him in. And, you know, we talked about before how Justin Turner kind of mentioned that as one of the reasons, you know, the Dodgers make that locker room, you know, fun and let guys do what they need to do and be themselves. And, you know, that's where a lot of success has come from in recent years and will continue to come from as long as they keep doing that. And yeah, as a fan, it's fun to watch. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where you go in every day and the Dodgers might be down 5-0 in the second. Maybe in the past, you might change the channel or just kind of monitor and see if they come back. But now it's a matter of, you know, they go down 5-0, you think they're going to come back almost every time.
Yeah, absolutely. I have one more point to make on that subject, but first I want to talk to our friends here who are listening to us about Built Bar. Look, if you haven't tried Built Puffs yet, you are missing out. They are delicious. They taste like chocolate-covered marshmallow, except they're healthy. They are low-calorie, high-protein, all that stuff. And there's a new flavor that is, it's so good. It's cookie dough chunk Built Puff. And it's a marshmallow covered in chocolate with a little tiny chunks of cookie dough on top of it. And somehow that's healthy. The way I just described that, it's you're watching this on YouTube and you think, yeah, that sounds like something a guy who looks like that would eat. No, this is something a guy who looks healthy would eat. But I eat anyway because I'm trying to look like that guy. Built Puffs are good for you. They're delicious. It's ridiculous. The cookie dough chunk Built Puff, only 160 calories and 15 grams of protein in it. So go to built.com right now. Buy them. I don't know if they're going to run out. You never know with them. Some of these flavors are so good that they just run out. And if you haven't tried the cookie dough chunk Puffs or Built Bars, you've got to try them. They're so good. I know they pay us to read this ad, but I would read this for free because holy crap, those things are good. So whatever you want to buy, go to built.com and use promo code LOCKEDON15. Please note the new promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, Vince, we are back. And the one other point I wanted to make on what we were talking about is one of the reasons that I enjoy this team so much as a fan, this approach that they're taking is because it's sustainable. You know, a lot of times it's like, you're like, oh, can they keep this hot stretch up through October? Can they get hot at the right time? The Dodgers approach of, okay, there's a game on the schedule today. We're all really good at baseball. Let's go play really well and win a game. That's sustainable. That's something you can do into October. And yeah, maybe some other team will get hot and knock the Dodgers off. But, you know, realistically going into October, the best position you can be in is we have the best team with the best players and the best approach. And let's try to win today. And then tomorrow we'll try to win today again. And eventually, you know, on the Music Man, she says, you keep piling up tomorrows, you'll find you have thing, but a lot of empty yesterdays. But in this case, you keep piling up todays and you'll find that you have a lot of pretty awesome yesterdays. And hopefully that's how the Dodgers end up winning the World Series this year. Yeah, you ever seen the Music Man, Vince?
I have not.
Oh man, it's so good. I don't know if any of our listeners will agree with me on that, but actually the ones with the last name Snyder will, but I don't know. I've watched that movie literally 1,000 times in my life. Other things I've watched 1,000 times in my life, Max Muncy swinging a bat. Muncy hit two home runs and a double in this game. He started the rally that ended in Joey Gallo's homer. He then had two homers of his own. Great game for Muncy. One of his best games of the season offensively. And after the game, he told Kirsten Watson that he had made a little mechanical adjustment. And he said something interesting that jumped out at me. He said it wasn't really something he felt. It was something he saw. And that got me thinking, you know, especially with Joey Gallo also hitting a huge home run in this game. I was thinking about an article. I think it was Fabian Ardaya in The Athletic who wrote it. Talking about the approach that they've taken with Joey Gallo since he came to the Dodgers and what they do with him, trying to fix his swing, trying to get him right offensively. And Fabian wrote that it's an approach they take with several of their hitters where they set up an iPad to take video and you take 5 or 6 swings, whether it's in the batting cage or, you know, off a tee or whatever, take 5 or 6 swings. And then you watch the video with the goal being to see, okay, what I'm feeling as I'm swinging, does that much match up with what I'm seeing? And I think, you know, reading between the lines, it seems like it was that approach that helped Muncy make this mechanical adjustment because everything felt fine to him. But then when he watched it back, he's like, oh, what I'm feeling isn't what's actually happening. So he actually had to do something that didn't come naturally, say, okay, even though this feels like I'm doing it right, I can see that I'm not, so I need to focus on that. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Cody Bellinger and his inability to make those adjustments for whatever reason. But to see Max Muncy do it, and obviously it's not the first time this year he's made adjustments. He has really picked up his OPS plus, his OPS is over 700 now. He's hitting really well. Joey Gallo is hitting better with the Dodgers than he did with the Yankees. Still, you know, the jury's still out on Joey Gallo, but that approach to hitting, it really jumped out at me.
Yeah, and it comes down to the fact of, you know, I'm sure health has something else to do with it, you know, his elbow and everything else, but it's also a matter of, and these adjustments could come because maybe his elbow didn't feel right and he was swinging a little bit different, or maybe trying to overcompensate in other areas in order to try to make up for his elbow not feeling right, and then everything got out of whack. That might be something that happened here, and these adjustments, you know, even if they're not the exact same swing he had before, they have him feeling like it's the swing that he's had before, or at least have him feeling like it's a good swing. And, you know, the as they say, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, he's up to, 18, 19 home runs now, with 8 or 9 of those being since August 1st, kind of when we saw him kind of make those adjustments and figure things out. So, yeah, for Dodger fans, it's been fun to watch, and this is the month we've seen. And it's one of those things that you talk about right now with being sustainable with Max Muncy. You know, he hasn't been too much of a streaky hitter. He's not been, you know, Chris Taylor level streaky in terms of hot and not. He's been kind of pretty consistent. That's mostly because he still gets the walks, even if he's not hitting particularly well, but he hasn't really had peaks and valleys. He's been pretty solid around the way, which is how you get consistency of, you know, 35, 35, 36 home runs in full seasons. But for him, it's one of those where, you know, once he figured it out, that's what he's going to be realistically. And that's the most exciting part, is that this is probably the Max Muncy we're going to have for the most part the rest of the season, you know, barring some other injury or something else that kind of gets him out of whack.
Yeah, when Freddie Freeman was, you know, whatever, 19 for 22 or whatever at that one point, it's like, this is awesome, but he's not going to bat 900 for the rest of the year. And obviously Freeman has continued to hit very well, but, you know, yeah, like you said, Muncy's hot streak isn't that kind of hot streak. It's, oh, he's Max Muncy again. And if he could just stay Max Muncy, that's all it needs to be. And, you know, this approach with the iPads and everything is kind of funny, coming off the Sunday night broadcast when they talked about using less iPads in game and more actually just talking to each other. I don't know if you saw one of those idiot radio hosts from San Diego was tweeting about, well, Max Muncy's on an iPad right now. How can they say they don't use iPads? And, you know, he doesn't understand nuances and, you know, the English language and whatever, because they never said they don't use iPads at all anymore during the game. They said they don't use them as much. And I think it's really cool to see that they're still very much into technology. They've just kind of tried to compartmentalize it and not use it as much in game, you know, focus on talking to teammates and getting the feel and everything in game, but then still seeing how much video and technology can help you, you know, when in between games, when you're taking batting practice or whatever, trying to figure something out. The Dodgers seem to be really, really good at using all the tools at their disposal to help their players be as good as they possibly can.
Yeah, and like you mentioned with Gallo, that's the first thing they did when they brought him in. I remember going to those first couple games back in Los Angeles after the trade deadline, and, you know, Gallo was out there taking live BP ahead, you know, basically like sim games ahead of the games, and they had the iPad set up, and he'd go out there and he'd take his swings, and then he'd come back and discuss it with whatever hitting coach or assistant hitting coach or whoever was out there at the time, and kind of go from there. And like I said, it hasn't been perfect with Gallo, but he's been better, and you at least feel like he's going to make contact with the ball more often than not. Whereas if you had seen Gallo in the start of the season, you probably didn't feel that way. You know, his OPS dropped a little from the last time we fully talked about him, but he's still at 780 as a Dodger, a 469 on base percentage, or no, 469 slugging, my bad, and then a 311 on base percentage. So he's still getting on base at a decent clip, not Joey Gallo best numbers, but, you know, decent enough, and he's making contact. And it's a lot of the time it's a double down the right field line or it's a home run. And then for the Dodgers, like we mentioned when they first got him, they just need him to do that a couple times a week, contribute and here and there. And, you know, did he win in this game by himself? No, but he contributed in a big way. It was part of the reason they won, and that's really all you can ask for.
Yep, absolutely. There's one other guy who has been playing really, really well lately that we're going to talk about. That is Justin Turner. So we want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right, Vince, we're back. And, you know, we haven't talked enough about Justin Turner the last couple months. It's been kind of quiet and steady. And it really hit home to me. I was watching the game, and my son happened to walk into the room or glance at the TV or whatever when JT came up. He said, "Wait, JT's batting 277 now?" Because, you know, for the longest time, Justin Turner was battling to stay over 200. And, you know, it kind of came to a head after the game on June 17th. JT was batting 206 and had a 611 OPS. And since then, he's batting about close to 370 with OPS pushing 1,000. And that's since June 18th. That's almost, what, July, August, September? 3 months, right? Almost 3 months. I mean, that is, this is not a hot streak anymore. This is, wow, JT is really, really good again. And early in the season, you know, when JT and Muncy were both struggling, and we talked a lot about, okay, who's going to break out of it? And we were always, we were hopeful for both of them. I think you and I were both more confident in Muncy simply because, you know, he was coming off the injury. It's like, he's going to get right. There's no reason other than the injury that he's struggling like this. And with JT, there was always the nagging question of, what if he just got old? What if he's just not good anymore? Well, JT says, hey, take your nagging question and shove it up your nagging butt. That's what JT said, and which is kind of rude for JT, but, you know, we heard him say the F word on that podcast last week. So, you know, he's just getting bold these days. JT is a hitter, and he is hitting. It's crazy. And like I said, mea culpa, we have not talked enough about Justin Turner the last few months.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's because of, you know, he got back to where we expected, and then he's been consistent. He hasn't really had a dip. I mean, you say, you know, hitting around 370 since that time, not a hot streak. That's, you know, really good hitting, but he has had a hot streak. He's got a 15-game hitting streak right now. And during that hitting streak, he's hitting 436 with 8 doubles and 12 RBI. So, yeah, he's been a guy. And, you know, realistically, if we look back at it, yeah, Mookie and Trey and Freddie, those guys have been big contributors on this Dodgers sustained hot run. You know, Trey Thompson's had some big moments. But, and Will Smith has been right there with the top of the order. But, you know, Justin Turner is that guy that is maybe a reason for the hot streak, just for the fact that he wasn't there early on in the year when they weren't playing at a 700 clip. And now he has been on, and when they've been playing at a 700 clip and almost 700 for the season now. So, yeah, he's we tried to write him off early. We were already talking about Miguel Vargas possibly getting more time, or Edwin Rios getting more time at third base. And, you know, that's all but an afterthought at this point. We tried to write him off a little bit last year, and he you know, came through in the postseason a couple of times before he ended up getting hurt. And, yeah, I don't – you know, there's not much else to say other than Justin Turner just continues to prove himself. And maybe we should just try to continue writing him off because he seems to react well to it.
Yeah, I guess so. So, yeah, sorry, JT. Sorry for not mentioning enough, but we love you. One other guy who has been written off and had plenty of negative things said about him is Craig Kimbrel. And, you know, mostly for good reason. Craig Kimbrel has not been good for most of this year. You know, and you mentioned on Twitter that you wanted him to get a haircut, just some extreme change, just to say, I'm turning the page. I'm a different guy, you know. And I think it would be awesome to see Kimbrel show up clean shaven with a buzzed head, you know, looking like 22-year-old Craig Kimbrel with his splotchy skin and everything. But instead, he, you know, on Women's Day in sports or whatever it was, when they let their significant others choose songs by women to be their walk-up songs or their walk-out songs, Craig Kimbrel's wife chose Let It Go from the movie Frozen. Vince, you don't have kids. You haven't heard that song as many times as I have.
I've never even seen Frozen.
Oh, man, it's a good one. My brother is a film critic, and so I actually – he got the DVD screener of Frozen, like, while it was still in theaters, and he didn't need it. He doesn't have kids, so he gave it to me. And so my kids got to watch Frozen on the DVD player when everybody else still had to go to the theater. So by the time it was out of theaters, my kids had probably seen it 50 times. And it's a good song. It's not your typical closer song, walkout song. Doesn't get you pumped up, but it's actually kind of perfect for a closer, especially an embattled closer like Kimbrel. There's a lot of stuff in that song, if you listen to the lyrics, about, you know what, I don't care what people think. I'm just going to let it go, and I'm going to do my thing, and let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway, which, you know, has double meaning in this heat wave, I guess. But since then, you know, he pitched well in that game and then decided to keep the song because it was easier than getting a haircut, I guess. And since then, this was, I think, his sixth appearance since then. And he hasn't allowed a run. I don't think he's even allowed a hit. And I mean, he has been outstanding. And I think we saw it in the first batter he faced on Tuesday night, Brandon Crawford. He went to a full count on him. And Craig Kimbrell earlier this year absolutely would have lost Brandon Crawford once it got to a full count, especially after Crawford fouled off a tough pitch. Crawford fouled off the first 3-2 pitch. There's no way Craig Kimbrell from May would have thrown two straight good strikes on a full count. And this time he just did. And he got a ground out from Crawford. And it was, for me, that was like the microcosm of the different Craig Kimbrell we're seeing now, because he's had good stuff. And we've said all season, yeah, he still has good stuff. It doesn't make sense why he's having such bad results. And what we're seeing now is the good stuff is actually being used with confidence. He's getting ahead of hitters. He's throwing his fastball where he wants to set up his curveball, throwing his curveball well to set up his fastball, all that stuff that an elite relief pitcher does and that he's done for his whole career. He's doing it now. And I'm not going to say that Elsa is the reason, but, you know, I do think there's something to the idea of changing your mindset, you know, and just making a change. We talked with Max Muncy's other mechanical change a month or two ago about taking that step back in a swing. And I talked, what was it? Major League Two or something that,
you have to think about a magazine to throw the ball back to the pitcher.
Yeah. You just change your mindset, you know, and I think this could just be Craig Kimbrell Major League Two'd himself by, you know, okay, now I'm walking out to this goofy song. I'm trying not to laugh while I'm throwing my warm-up pitches. And I remember, guess what? I'm Craig effing Kimbrell. I'm the best. I have more saves than anybody else who is currently playing baseball has ever had. I'm just going to throw strikes. I'm going to get outs.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, and that's what the Dodgers have basically just needed all year. They've, for the most part, I mean, he hasn't pitched in too many close games, you know, one-run games. Yeah, he had blown a bunch of them, but there, he wasn't a lot of them. The Dodgers have put him in a pretty comfortable spot, which is why his high ERA and, you know, allowing a run in a bunch of – not having clean innings wasn't too much of a deterrent for the Dodgers, just because they were usually up by two or three anyways. And last night they were up by three, but, you know, Craig Kimbrell went 1-2-3, and now – he's gone 1-2-3 in three straight outings, and I believe five of his last six outings. He had a couple walks against the Marlins in Miami, but other than that, and that's when he had to go the extra inning. So he's gone 1-2-3 in an inning six times in his last six appearances. They try to, throw him that extra inning, and he ended up walking two guys. But, you know, for Kimbrell, this is what we asked for. We said either be dominant or be really bad, with the hopes that he would be really dominant instead of being really bad. And right now he's, you know, being pretty dominant. He's had two strikeouts, no strikeouts his last two appearances, but he had, you know, two strikeouts in each of his three appearances before that. And, you know, this is what you want. You want no stress when your closer comes in, or at least the least amount of stress possible. And you can't have that if you're getting guys on base and everything else. And it's also probably just a regression. You know, we talked about his BABIP and the bad luck and some of the stuff he's had. And, you know, you can reduce that by doing what he's been doing, which is throwing strikes and, you know, not getting yourself in bad counts. But it also can be reduced just by the simple fact that at some point it had to come that big way. So it's a combination of a few things. And yeah, like I said, if let it go is what it has to be, then let it go is what it has to be. He gets to keep his ponytail, but he doesn't get the hard rock song to come out to. But you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because he's getting results, and that's all we've been asking for the entire season.
Absolutely. And after that extra innings loss again in Milwaukee, where things kind of came to a head, he and Dave Roberts actually said kind of opposite things. Kimbrell said after that game, or you know, maybe the next day, sometime shortly after that, he said, I'm having terrible luck on balls in play, basically. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, but so I need to strike out more guys, and I know I can do that. And Dave Roberts said almost the opposite. He said he's chasing the strikeout, so he's trying to be too fine, and he needs to just get ahead of hitters. And that at the time reminded me, I think I wrote about it on Dodgers Nation, it reminded me about Sandy Koufax, who had the famous quote of, I became a great pitcher when I stopped trying to not let guys hit it and started trying to make them hit it. And the funny thing is, Sandy Koufax's strikeout rate was a lot higher after he stopped trying to strike guys out. Because when you're not trying to strike guys out, you can just make your pitches. And guess what? Sometimes you're going to foul them off. And then you find yourself, oh, I'm in an 0-2 count. Sure, I'm going to throw this nasty curveball I have, and I'm going to get a strikeout here. But if you start from, you know, 0-0 count and saying, I'm going to get a strikeout, you're going to end up in a 3-2 count and end up walking a guy or giving up a hit or whatever. If you wait till 0-2 or 1-2 to start thinking strikeout, then you're in a really good situation and you're going to get some quick outs on ground balls. You're going to get some strikeouts, and ultimately you're going to have success throwing the ball. And that's what we're seeing from Kimbrel. And hopefully he can keep this up.
Yeah. Because if this keeps up and Trinan remains strong and Evan Phillips, you know, gets a little bit of not rest or to a certain extent, not so much being put in fireman type situations, you know, that those are three guys right there that are lights out. And then if you can get Gratterall back healthy and Vessia and all these other guys, you know, we talked about the Dodger bullpen being a strength. And with Carrick Kimbrel being like this, you know, we talked about that too, where the Dodgers are better if he's this type of guy. And yeah, it's now I'm excited to see Carrick Kimbrel come out because I want to see if this is for real and he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah. One last note on that before we wrap up. Yency Almonte, another guy who's kind of filled that role. When he went on the injured list, it was around the same time Clayton Kershaw did, and they downplayed it. They thought it was nothing serious. It's now been, you know, a little over a month that he's been out, and while the original plan was for him to not need a rehab assignment, Dave Roberts did say, I think before Monday's game, that Almonte will need a rehab assignment. You know, luckily, in previous years, the AAA season ended in early September. But the Oklahoma City Dodgers still have like 3 weeks left on their schedule. So there will be time for him to get a couple games in AAA, hopefully. And because he's been really good in the bullpen too. So a lot of options they have. And if Kimbrel's great, that just makes that bullpen even stronger. So you got anything else, Vince, today?
Yeah, we looked up the Kershaw stat right after the podcast last night. And Clayton Kershaw is going to make a 17th start, and this is his 10th day game start. So not just something I feel like he is. He's thrown more of starts than not during the day. And then we looked it up, and him and Julio are tied right now for 9. But once Kershaw starts the game, he'll be in the lead for 10, and he has the least amount of starts of Julio Anderson and some of the other guys. So
yeah, he's also been awesome in those games. His ERA is like 1.5 in those day games. So, yeah. It is kind of – it's a fluke. I don't know if it's a coincidence or not. You know, I guess one of them was the first game of a doubleheader, and so he chose or at least had some input on which game he would pitch. But, yeah, maybe a lot of it's just the quirk of the scheduling. So that's going to do it for us today. Vince, I challenge you to watch Frozen, you know, at least to learn the words to Craig Kimbrel's new song, you know.
Yeah, I might have to now.
It's a good flick. Thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Now, for your second listen, check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team of experts of Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts. For your third listen, go check out the Frozen soundtrack because it's awesome. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, please add one or two days a month to your rotation. We really appreciate all the comments we're getting on YouTube, all the interaction on social media. We love it. Keep that up. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.